Welcome to the Last Sunday Podcast, where we discuss last Sunday's sermon at Majestic View Church in beautiful Kiowa, Colorado. Senior Pastor John Smith talks with Kyle Peters to answer questions, provide clarity, and take a deeper dive on some points from the sermon. This is your chance to be a fly on the wall for personal discipleship.
Hi, Kyle.
Hello.
It's good to see you back again today.
Yes.
And I can tell you, I'm really excited about today's discussion and what we're going to get into for a couple reasons. One is I just loved what Howie had to say on Sunday, and I'm interested to hear your take on it. I listened to it as I was driving down the road coming back from a wedding, and so I got to have church in the car yesterday. Last Sunday, but for your experiences to being in the service and all that, I'm excited to see what you can do and or what you experienced. And also, today we're going to explore a guy that basically grew up as a hippie. I mean, he grew up in a very pagan home without a knowledge of God, without a care about God, and today he's the elder in the church. How do you make that journey? And how do you get from one place to the other? And we're going to explore what Howie had to say about that and how he made that journey. So I'm interested in your questions today.
Mm-hmm.
So let's pray. Father, thank you for this privilege to once again meet and discuss. And Lord, would you guide us? Would you help us to say things that will encourage each other? And of course, the people that listen, Lord, and that they might find a deeper walk with you, that we all would find a deeper walk with you, and that we would understand our journey to praise, what that means. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So you mentioned you were gone. You listened in absentia because you were at a wedding, I believe, right?
Yeah, we had something very special this weekend. Nothing could hardly make me miss a Sunday in December because it's such a important time in the calendar of the church and the calendar of Majestic View Church. But 28 years ago, Brian James and his family came into my life,
mm-hmm.
and together the Lord planted a church and used us, okay? He was here from the very beginning. In fact, he and another group of people that never did come to the church were praying that God would bring a pastor to lead them. And God put us together, and something very special happened. So anyway, his oldest son, Zach, finally found, and I say finally, he's in his mid-30s, but he found his dream girl, and she's truly is a wonderful woman of God. And they got married on Saturday night in Missouri, so I couldn't hardly make the commute back in time.
Yeah, that's a lot.
For church.
That's
so,
a lot.
So, but we had a great trip. It was a fantastic weekend, and we actually got to go to another church in Branson on Sunday morning. So,
excellent.
We enjoyed that.
Well, I did notice that without Brian and his family here, it was much quieter in the service.
Absolutely.
But so Howie covered for you, as it were, and told us his journey, and it was I thought it was pretty cool that because there was Howie's not a lot older than me. He's got 12 or so years on me. But so as he's talking about growing up with the hair bands of the 80s and whatnot, I'm like, yeah, I remember those, and I remember hearing about those things and whatnot. And just being a kind of a carefree spirit, a wild little bit of a wild man, as it were. I don't know that he was quite as bad as he tried to make himself out to be a little bit, but he was just without concern, without structure, and without God, and that But I found it interesting, too, that he said that he found God in his 20s. And I was sitting there thinking of my own journey. And I grew up with, and my folks occasionally listen to this, and I don't think it would be improper to say they didn't go to church. They still don't go to church regularly that I know of, and they're in another state. But they were great people. They still are. They were fantastic people, great parents. But it was my aunt that took me to church every Sunday. She'd drive into town, pick me up, and we'd go until I got a little older, and then I could ride my bike down there. And then in my 20s, I kind of fell away. There's no kind of. I fell away. And now I'm working my way back, hopefully better than ever, as it were. So it was just interesting to hear his story, and he's like, I came to it late. And I'm like, well, yeah, but you came to it, dude.
Right.
And he felt, what am I trying to say? He missed out, regret that he didn't grow up in the church.
Well, anytime a person lives a significant part of their lives without Christ, without his love, without the restraints that would keep them from making really poor decisions, there are going to be regrets. And Howie's got things that he regrets.
Yeah.
That he didn't talk about, and I'm glad he didn't. He didn't need to. The fact is that
right.
Those are not necessarily wasted years. They are, to some degree, lost years, or they're often negative years. I spent a lot of time in this office talking with people that have regrets.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be a decade, it may be two decades of their life where they lived without any real knowledge of God, and they lived the way the world told them that they were supposed to live. And so they made mistakes, they had broken relationships,
mm-hmm.
they often became addicted to things that were very detrimental, not only to their health, but to their spiritual life, and took them even farther away from God. So I think that's what Howie was doing. And one of the reasons I wanted him to speak, he is an elder in our church. He's so respected. He loves people so much. He loves children so much, as you can see if
yes,
you watch the podcast
absolutely.
Or the broadcast or the live stream. But I wanted them to know this man really had a change in his life. He discovered Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has transformed his life. And listen, Howie is one of those men, by his example, that lead from the pew, so to speak, from the congregation on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
He leads in worship and in praise by just his demeanor and the way he engages the Lord. So I thought his journey to praise would be very enlightening for people that are also having a journey.
Yeah, you know, and I think he sets... he doesn't just set a good example today, but he sets a good example again by where he came from. And yeah, were those wasted years? No. Were they lost in a way, misspent perhaps? Because I look at my 20s. I'll narrow it down to my 20s just for conversation's sake here, and say, I do regret some of my decisions then, and that it's kind of like I look at it kind of like smoking or drinking or something. It's a whole lot easier to quit smoking if you never start. And here, you know, if you never go down the wrong path, it's a whole lot easier to just stay on the right path. But I think it was just this morning I was. Was listening to an audiobook as I was getting ready and in the gym this morning and whatnot, and it was talking about how we as a society in a secular world, we put ourselves down and we say, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy of these things, and that we're told we can do whatever, we can do all things through Christ. And without him, we're not going to do much anything. And that, to me, is the answer. And we get all kinds of examples. We got the example of David. He was not a good guy. he was a good guy when he was younger. He had a bad spell in the middle there. A really, really bad spell in the middle there. And through it all, he came back and he was good. He was a fine leader. And
sure. And, you know, for that person out there that's listening to us right now, I would want you to understand that you are where you are today. You are the cumulative total of the decisions that you've made, both good and bad. And guess what? God still loves you. He never quit loving you. Even though you may have denied him, you may not have had any care about God, even a thought of God during some of those years of your life, and you made some mistakes, you have broken relationships, you have habits now that are hard to break. Mm-hmm. All those things cause scars and they cause pain. But the Lord wants us to know and wants us to realize that it's for those tears that he died. It is for those transgressions, those sins that he died. It's for those bad decisions that hurt us. That's why he died. He died to pay the price for our sin. But not just to pay the price for it, to redeem us. And that God can take a guy that was not even on the radar with God, like Howie, and today he's a man that loves his wife dearly, and mm-hmm. she loves him. They love young couples as they minister to them. They're teaching Sunday school once a month in our church. He's working as an elder here. He is influential in his company as he leads there, and he represents Christ there, and does that openly. And you know, is he perfect? No. Does he still make mistakes? Yes. But this man has a heart and a countenance and a joy that is a testimony of Jesus Christ.
Well, and I think maybe that's the big message to folks that we need to get from Howie's example is it doesn't even matter where you are, and definitely not it doesn't matter where you've been. You can find a way to God. You can find a way to a better life.
Jesus Christ has a plan for you, and that starts with right now. Mm-hmm. Now, yes. So, anyway, how he told us his story and how he came through that is quite interesting.
You know, one of the things he said, kind of along those same lines that he said, was he kind of compared where he put himself versus where God put him. And I think we all do that to some degree, some of us more than others. We try to put ourselves places. We try to create our own path. And we've talked about this before, of creating our own religion.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, let me use a stark example of how our decisions impact our lives. You know, we hear on the radio quite often about some problem occurring where somebody gets shot or somebody gets threatened with a gun. And then you hear the rest of the story and you find out that they were at a bar or they were at a strip club or they were at all these places that, you know, not good things happen. And people go there to lose their mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could be robbed. In fact, our car was broken into at a park on a bright Saturday afternoon in August a year and a half ago, you know. But I've never had a gun waved in my face. And one of the reasons is because I don't go to places where people wave guns in other people's faces. I don't frequent that. So that's a decision that I've made in my life,
right,
and it's protected me from some things, okay?
Yeah, I think obviously there's limits to that. The world's going to happen to you to some degree. But I think of one of my old trainers that one of his classic quips was, "Don't go to stupid places where stupid people do stupid things."
Yeah, and when we make those decisions to do that, and listen, all of us, including me, have gone to places and we think, "What am I doing here?" And I can't. And maybe if we realize that, it's like, I can get out of here quick enough. Okay.
Right.
But we've wondered, why am I here?
Sometimes you just look back and say, that was not smart of myself there to go there, to do that, whatever.
Well, I can tell you a funny story about that. Myself and two other youth leaders took a group of college students to New York City on a missions trip.
Okay.
And so we put all these college students to bed one night. And one of the other leaders, who was just pretty crazy, he said, "I want to go for a stroll in Central Park at midnight." And so,
okay, so I've been there, not at midnight, but against, there's reasons for that.
But against my better judgment, I went along.
Okay,
and against my relatively new wife's wishes, I went along.
Yes.
And I regret that decision. Not that she gave me such a hard time, but I regret the decision.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we're driving in a van that says the Association of Baptist Students on the side of it.
Nice. All right.
Very bright white van with this lettering on the side.
Yep.
And it also said something about the town, had the name of the town. It wasn't the
You're
van.
You're clearly not locals.
Well, yeah, this is a town in Texas.
Okay.
And it wasn't my van. It was the van of one of the other groups. Anyway, we're driving around. And so this guy says, "Oh, I'm going to get out and walk." And he said, "I'm going to leave the door open. And so I'm not going to just walk. I'm going to walk beside the van. But I can say I took a walk in Central Park at midnight." And so this guy gets out of the van, and he's walking along. I mean, we're driving, 2 miles an hour, and he's walking along.
Yeah.
And he's right there at the door, and we look up, and he doesn't see him because he's acting crazy. All of a sudden, out of the bushes, appear a gang. Obviously a gang.
Yeah.
It probably was only 10, but I thought it looked like 50.
Yep.
And our van is very quickly going to be surrounded. And me and the guy that was driving says, "Floyd, get in the van.
Get in the van.
Get in the van. Get in the van, Floyd." "What? Get in the van, Floyd." Well, he jumped in the van, and the guy was driving, floored it, and we got out of there. But that could have got ugly really quick.
New York is an interesting place.
Well, this was...
And when was this?
This was a long time ago. This was like 35 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway... you know what? Bad decision. Get me out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thankfully, nothing bad happened. But there's other folks that make those decisions. And that's just an example of, you know, do we realize it's a bad decision before the fact or after the fact, you know? And so we'll shoot that rabbit, move on with our discussion
now.
Yeah,
we put ourselves in precarious situations sometimes. And, you know, one of the things that I'm kind of dealing with peripherally, that I know you're acquainted with too, is you know, with other people's relationships and seeing the decisions that others make. And I'm sitting back going, "Oh boy, you know, what do I do about this? How can I help?" You know, those kinds of things. And it's the decisions people make. And we hope that bad decision isn't something as serious as a marriage, that it's something as hopefully trivial as wanting to take a walk through Central Park at midnight because that sounded like a great idea at the time, or going out and hanging out in a bar or something. And let's face it, most times you go hang out in a bar, it's not a big deal. Nothing happens except... maybe you have too much to drink, hopefully. So my funny story, as it were, is just Hank being that guy in college that hung out in a lot of bars in high school and in college as a musician. drinking a lot of Sprite. And not a popular, I was not popular because of that. You know, I mean, I'd hang out with my friends, like, dude, come on, have a drink. We'll buy you one. I'm like, no, it's not the money. I just, you know, no thank you. And so, you know, we make our decisions, and sometimes they're not the best, and they're not. And so this is a thing I've noticed too. It's for some reason, this just this concept of a secular world view has been churning around in my brain lately. Man, there's a lot of things I hear people say. And there's a lot of things I hear people say about religion, about Christianity specifically, and I'm like, where is that? Where did you get that? Where did that come from?
You know, Kyle, you raising that is what I was thinking about as you were talking there. You know, one of the things that Howie talked about in his sermon was his lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And it was not a lifestyle that he chose initially. It was a lifestyle that he inherited.
Right.
Okay. And whether it's a lifestyle that you inherit or a lifestyle you choose, the fact is, when we choose a lifestyle of the world, we're going to get worldly results. Mm-hmm. And the miracle of Christ is that he can show us a different way of living. Now, I know the world will sometimes criticize me for saying that and say, yeah, and you'll never have any fun.
Right.
No, listen, man, I had a blast this weekend with my wife, with my friends, watching a young man experience the joy of his life as he begins his life with a new bride at the tender age of 35, you know?
Yep.
And it was a hoot. It was a great time. We had a lot of fun. But that lifestyle is a choice. Mm-hmm. Now, and it's not a choice. It's not something you can do by yourself. You got to have the help of the Lord. But the thing that's so unique about Howie is there's so many that are born into a certain lifestyle, but they never escape it. And it leads to destruction and to things that, you know, broken lives. And thank God, the Lord wants to give us the very best and wants us to find His purpose for us, no matter what our lifestyle has been, what we inherited, none of that stuff. He has a plan for us.
Now, did I miss? I know, and I'm looking at his notes right here too, as we're talking. And he laid a lot of things out. And he has a section on here in his notes that says, "My journey took a U-turn," and he talked about praising God a cappella style and Promise Keepers and praising God with music. But was there did he mention a specific, an I saw the light moment?
Yes, very early on he did. He just briefly referred to it.
Okay.
But he talked about when he found Christ. And by the way, I've heard the story before.
Okay.
About how he had a friend that got him to, actually the guy was a rock, Christian rock musician, and
that's
this
right.
Guy was real long-haired, and he got him to go to church with him.
Yes, okay, I remember that now. You know, I think too, it sounded like a lot of that time frame was probably about the time that he was getting married and whatnot, that his wife came along.
Yeah, it was all in around the same time.
Yeah.
And you know, I said he went to church. Now, don't let me leave the impression that just because you go to church, that
right.
means your life has changed. He began to go to church, and he heard the truth about Jesus and how Jesus loves him and how he could be forgiven of his sin and discover a relationship with God. And then he put his trust in Christ, and that's when his life started changing. But it was the entryway that he thought, well, you know, this guy's got hair on his shoulders too. I think I'll go to church with him, you know.
Yeah.
It got his curiosity going is what it did.
And now how he's at a point in his life where he's feeling fortunate to have hair on his head at all.
That's right.
And he still has that same wonderful wife, and he's doing he's doing good.
He is.
You know,
he's a tremendous blessing to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, he's that guy that you said you notice him in the service, and I think that's true. You do notice him in the service, but you're going to notice him whether you like it or not, because he's probably if he looks around and sees somebody he doesn't recognize, he just makes a beeline for him and goes and, "Hi, I'm Howie. Mm-hmm. Who are you? Thanks for coming."
Absolutely.
You know, he's just that kind of guy now, which is awesome. You know,
he remembers where he came from.
Yeah.
He remembers what it was like the first time he walked into a church and was weirded out by mm-hmm. this different culture that he wasn't used to.
Well, you know, and I think about that too. Like, if this was all completely foreign to me, you know, like I said, I grew up as a kid going to church, that was funny to me to hear him talk about going to a Church of Christ, because I went to a Church of Christ. I'm not sure they knew they were a Church of Christ, because we had awesome music and all kinds of things going on. I don't know if that was just the name that was inherited or something, but whatever. You know, so a little overlap there. But if I hadn't grown up in that and I just walked into, you know, at the age of whatever age, you know, I'm looking around here and on Sundays and I see somebody. I remember when you did your Value of a Girl series, there was a young lady here who was in her 20s and was feeling very lost, and that was deeply impactful to her.
And she's still here, by the way.
And she's still here. And it's wonderful. In fact, my kids are getting to know her, and I'm like, how do you know? Okay. She's making herself known, you know, in the good way, in the best way possible. But if, you know, somebody just walks in here in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s, what would they think? Would this really freak them out to walk into our church on a Sunday and just, and why would they even do that?
Yeah.
You know, why would you?
Well, bottom line is when they do that, it's probably because the Spirit of God's drawing them. But I'll tell you another neat story that happened in our church. And there was this man that had severe PTSD. And the first Sunday he came, he could not hardly stand to be in crowds at all.
Mm.
The first Sunday he came in the back door and he began to panic and started to turn and leave. And one of our men saw him and ran to him and grabbed him. And he said, "Hey, bro, it's okay. Come on in." And they went and sat in the dining area of our church alone that day and watched the service on TV. And that guy befriended him and rescued him from that moment of panic. And today he's a very active part of this church. And he doesn't even need his dog anymore.
There you go.
So that's the value of seeing that person, seeing all people, but seeing those people that may be different from us at that moment, or maybe not so different in appearance, but you know they're new. You know, maybe they're hesitant. Maybe there's a tear in their eye. Maybe there's a look of fear in their eye. And we have to care about those people. And how he got that, and now how he gives that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's as we discussed leading up to this, we wanted to have a talk about just some other things surrounding this podcast and whatnot. And one of the things we talked about was things we're seeing in society these days. And I think there's a want in this crazy mixed up world now for answers, for guidance, you know, a path forward. There's a lot of questions out there that people have, or uncertainty. Uncertainty is probably a big one.
Sure. And you know, Kyle, part of that conversation we had is that people are looking for answers, and often they're looking for answers in something like this podcast that you and I are having right now, because they can listen to this with their earbuds in, yep. driving down the road,
mowing the lawn, whatever,
wherever they are, and they really they're worried about becoming. They don't want to be a part of a cult. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be manipulated. They don't want somebody reaching in to try and get their wallet and make them give their whole lives worth of savings the first Sunday that they're there, that right. kind of stuff, or ever. So they're hesitant to come to church. But the thing that's so important, and we discussed this about the whole social media podcast world, is that there is more than just the technology of stuff coming in your ears. There's more than just knowledge. There is the need for the relationship with flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, even though Howie was talking about praise, he talked a lot about music, he also talked about his journey with people and how those different people impacted him and helped him discover more and more about how to open up to God and to walk with God and to experience God and to love God and to express his heart to God and to understand God. And he got that, some of it he got through social media type things, even though that wasn't as big when he was a young man as it is today.
Right.
But he also got that through people. Mm-hmm. He got it through relationship. He got it through church. And at the end of the day, if all a church is a bunch of doctrine, a bunch of rules, and it's not about relationships, then it's not a church that's following Jesus Christ. Because when you study the Jesus of the Bible, what you find is someone who was touching common people. He was engaging the outcast. He was engaging people that were hurting. He was constantly caring for his disciples, that were those that were following him. He was teaching them a better way to live life. But he wasn't giving them just this rigid set of rules. In fact, the people that were the rule followers of that day
mm-hmm.
were the ones that crucified him.
Well, and I think that's something. I had a conversation last week that was pretty interesting on this sort of thing, and it was the you can't just have rules and say, you know, like if I follow all the rules, I'm in. That's my ticket to heaven right there. I never broke the rules. But you didn't believe either. You just followed the rules. And the another part of that conversation that kind of goes with what you just said was talking about the disciples. And specifically, we were discussing watching The Chosen and seeing the disciples. Like, they were friends. They had to be friends. They probably had disagreements, which we saw in that. But they were working together, and they were doing. They were walking down the road together. They were walking down the road with Jesus, and there's probably jokes getting cut up, and you know, all kinds of. There were meals had every day, or meals skipped on, you know, probably pretty regularly, I would guess, at that point in time. But they were people, and they had a relationship built between all of them.
They were doing life together.
Yes.
A true church that is truly representing Jesus Christ has Jesus Christ as its center.
Mm-hmm.
He's the focus of our worship and praise. But it is a church that learns how to do life together. And the more a church does that, the stronger it will be.
And so as I look at this whole conversation here that we've been saying is having, maybe just the last part of this conversation specifically, of having that knowledge. I need that knowledge. I'm short on that knowledge. And so plugging something in my ears when I'm getting ready in the morning or out mowing the lawn or what have you, that feeds some knowledge into my head, but I need to come here. I need to hang out with people I need to understand that there's other people on the same path. There's other folks around here struggling with the same things that I'm struggling with. And I can't do that. It's not the same just to do it purely intellectually and say, well, of course, you know, I heard a podcast or I read a book or whatever where somebody said they had the same problem. It's different when I've got Howie standing right beside me. I mean, Howie and I talked at the back door of the sanctuary afterwards, and he told me some extra things that he did not include that were he did lead a colorful life, and good for him for overcoming it and seeing the error of his upbringing and whatnot. And I hope we all do that. But I needed that personal interaction with him.
Sure.
To give some extra depth and make that extra bond and connection.
I heard a story one time that very well illustrates what you're talking about, the difference between knowledge and wisdom.
Okay.
There was a man that just graduated from college, one of his first jobs, in building a very specialized plant. And he was the engineer that was the designer of this particular section of this plant that was being designed and built. And so he brought his design to the project manager, and he said, this is what we're going to build. This is the way I want you to build it. Here's the plan. The project manager looked at it and said, okay. And he took it to his foreman. His foreman was a very simple blue-collar man. Didn't have all of his teeth.
Yep.
Hard working. Been doing it for 30 years. This very work in this very plant. Okay. And so he handed him the blueprints. He said, this is what we're going to build. Let's get started. And so he's doing all the preparation work for that. And this 30-year worker who didn't maybe even have a high school education, mm-hmm, came back to the project manager and he said, won't work, boss. He said, it won't work. He said, no, it's designed wrong right here. He said, and he told him why it wouldn't work. And the project manager looked at him and said, okay, I trust you. He took it to the engineer. And the engineer heard what he had to say. He said, you build it the way I designed it. It was a $4 million project. And when it was finished, it didn't work. And it didn't work for what the guy that had been out there in the trenches for 30 years making it work, he was right. The point of that is this. You can have all the knowledge. I have no doubt that engineer had a lot of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that guy that had been working 30 years without a high school education, but he had an education on what worked every day, that's wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's applied knowledge that becomes the wisdom to say, this is what works in everyday life. And we so desperately need that from each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that you know that I don't know and things that I know that you don't know. There's life experiences that we've had. And, of course, I'm a lot farther down the road than you are. My kids are all grown. I got grandkids, the age of your kids.
That's
okay.
That, yes.
So there's a lot of life that I've experienced and a lot of mistakes that I've made.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we share life together, you can help me understand how to relate to this younger culture, and I can help you learn how to navigate life and relationships from experiences that I've had, both good and bad. So we need each other.
Yeah, and I think that was, that's kind of a central thing with this church is, and our path forward as a church too is we need to be here. We need to see each other. I think as you and I talked earlier too is. We can get information. I got to be careful sometimes too, though, that I don't grab the wrong information. That is a far easier thing to do these days than I'd like for it to be. But you know, it was, but it was good to hear, as we said here, to have some relations here, to hear where Howie came from and gain a new respect for him, because it's really easy, I think, to look at somebody, not just like Howie, but anybody, and oh, they're just that goody two shoes, church going kind of folk. And I will say I'm a little disappointed in Howie that there were not long-haired pictures included in the sermon on Sunday. Would love to have seen him at a Twisted Sister concert or something. That would have been great to have those pictures of him up there. That would have been fantastic. But you know, but to know that that's where he came from and to see where he's at today, and kind of put hope out there. You sure. know, hope, not just praise, but also hope that no matter where I'm at, I got a path forward as well.
And the bottom line of this sermon was Howie's journey to praise.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're talking about praising the Lord and why praising the Lord is so important. For the last month, we've been discussing that,
right,
and preaching messages on that. And the message that I want to make sure comes loud and clear, the transformation of Howie's life, the transformation of my life, the transformation of your life will be directly related to us learning how to honor the Lord, how to worship the Lord, how to praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that and we have that gratitude for God and we have that understanding of God, God has promised us something. He imputes, that's a word that a churchy word, it's a biblical word.
Yeah.
But he inputs his righteousness in us. Listen, if there's any good thing in John Smith today, it's not because I put it there. It's because the God of heaven did it. Well, how does he do that? He does that as we get to know him and he gives us himself. Just like you come to me with a problem, you say, Pastor John, you've been married 45 years, and I've got a question about marriage. Well, now, I give you a piece of myself, and I say to you, Kyle, I made this mistake when I was your age, and let me tell you what I would do differently now. I have just imputed part of my life and part of me into you. Well, I may be imputing into you what I learned from my mistake. What God is imputing into us is his perfect righteousness, his goodness, and all that he is, his love, his mercy, his grace, his kindness. He is showing us how that we can walk in that and have it and give it to other people. And man, that's the joy of life. So you say, why should I praise God? Because that's how you discover who he is. And when you discover who he is, that's how you become a person that other people want to be around, that other people want to get to gain from. It's a beautiful thing.
I want to take a slight turn here, but it's only a slight one, and kind of throw in my idea that I've been thinking on since last week. But I feel like it really does relate to what we've been saying here, that we have a tendency to follow a secular world and to try and be who we want to be and not put the emphasis on the hard things, quite frankly. You know, putting emphasis on God can be difficult in a secular world. And one of the things that I heard from a couple years ago that was reminded that got brought back up last week was the he gets us thing, and I don't want to get too much into that because I don't think either of us have studied that whole movement enough to really comment on it accurately, but it's just this thought of God needing to understand me And I have a problem with that.
Well,
and I'm not sure that I always would have had a problem with that, but I do now. But I think there's a tendency towards that societally to want God to understand me.
On my desk, of course, the audience can't see it, but there is a bowl. It still has the bark on the outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
That once was the limb of a tree.
Okay.
Okay. And somebody took a knife and carved it and made it into a beautiful bowl. Now, it's a very unique bowl. It came from Israel. It is from an olive tree.
Oh, all right.
Okay. And the wood, supposedly, I don't have documented proof, is 2,000 years old. Okay. So the purpose of that piece of wood was to one day be a bowl that is sitting on the desk of a pastor, which is a conversation piece in a podcast now, okay?
Gotcha.
In order for that bowl to sustain its purpose and not just be another piece of driftwood that's burned in the fire, it had to succumb to the purpose of its creator. This proposal you just made to me about God needs to understand me.
Mm-hmm.
God understands me more than I'll ever understand me. He understands me more than anybody on this earth understands me. Why? Because He made me. The scripture says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And that my soul knoweth right well. That was the psalmist David saying, He gets me. It's not He is coming to understand me. No, He made me. And just like, I don't know who made that bowl, but it had someone who fashioned it, someone who made it, who mm-hmm. carved it, and who used the nuances of that wood to make it very beautiful and an instrument of praise to His work. That bowl could have ended up like the rest of the tree, rotted, dead, burned. I don't know what happened to it.
Right.
But instead, it is serving a purpose for years that, if it's taken care of, will last longer than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's already lasted a lot longer. Yeah,
it's already lasted a lot longer than I have.
Right.
I ever will, you know. So when it comes to you and me, Kyle, God understands you, and He knows what's best for you. And that's the problem, is that people don't want to submit to His authority and recognize that He is the creator. And some people don't even understand that He is the creator. They think they evolved from something. But He is the creator who made us, and He made us with love.
So am I wrong in not appreciating that whole philosophy, as it were, that the center of things is that God gets me? Because my feeling on it is, My gut tells me the focus there should not be God gets me, cool. It's I need to get God. I need to be understanding Him. So I'm having trouble.
Well, the problem is that we live in a very self-centered world, mm-hmm. a very self-focused world. And we think the world revolves around us.
Right.
And the truth is, the world revolves around God. And I'm a part of that world. The miracle is that God loves me and that He does have a plan for my life, that He has a purpose for me. He does get me. That's a miracle. But okay. If my focus is God needs to get me, you know, and this is all about me, then I don't understand, because that self-focus, it's so destructive. It's destructive to everything it touches, including me.
I feel like this is more complex than I thought it was going to be when I got into it, to be quite frank. Because I see the necessity for for knowing that I'm understood, which is different than me being accommodated or that's not even the right word. It's not necessarily, while God can understand me, he may not necessarily approve of me or my actions, I should say. So just because he understands me doesn't mean I'm doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
And I feel maybe that's where I have the issue with the statement and where I need to, because I know the guys who came up or who came up with this whole movement thing. I think they're well intended.
Well, and Kyle, I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, I don't either.
To judge one way or the other. I just know the statement you presented to me a while ago.
Right.
If that's a self-focused thing, and let's face it, man. Before we know Christ, before we know his love, before we know his forgiveness, the world revolves around me.
Right.
It was all about me.
Right.
When I was a two-year-old and I wanted my toy back and my mom said no, it was about the fact that I had been wounded beyond imagination, okay?
Yes.
All right, because the world was about me and what I wanted, okay? That sin nature, that self-focus has got to be dealt with. And if it's not, it will destroy John Smith ultimately, because I'm going to keep seeking the things that I want, which are usually not the best.
Well,
okay?
And isn't that kind of the way of our world, our existence, rather, is that we allow the world to revolve around us, well, hopefully only until we're, you know, 6 or 7 or 8, sometimes till we're 30 or 40.
Or
forever.
On our deathbed.
Yeah.
But you think, when you read what happened in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were tempted, and when she saw that the fruit that God had said, don't eat it, was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes,
mm-hmm,
and desirable to make one wise. All those things were things that touched her desires, her wants.
Right.
It was good. It was desirable. And, oh, it would make her wise. Well, you know, it might have been good-looking fruit. I mean, I don't know what kind of fruit it was. It wasn't necessarily an apple like we always see.
Right.
It could have been a beautiful peach. Or, you know, it could have been anything. But fruit is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit is good.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and sweet and juicy. And did it make her wiser? Yeah, she learned the difference between being sinless and sinful. And she took it. She disobeyed. She sinned. And immediately, she now became wise under the reality of death and shame and guilt. And that's ugly. And so that's why we need Jesus, bro. That's why we have to have a heart change. We have to have him to come live in us. And when we do that, he can heal us from our selfishness. He can deliver us, and he has died on the cross to deliver us from our sin. And so we desperately need him. And he knows we need him, and he knows us. And yes, he gets us. He gets what makes us tick better than anybody ever will.
Good for good or bad.
That's right. That doesn't mean, as you said, that he approves of us, but he understands why we are the way we are. And he has the antidote to help us with our stuff.
I definitely feel like I need to dig into that whole thing a little bit and try to understand where they were coming from on that, because there's a lot of complexity there and a lot of potential good and you know, man, it's just like human nature there. We can go either way.
Sure. When I first saw it, I thought, okay, and I took it more positively. But you can, it just depends on what people do with it. I don't know what the intent of the makers of it were, except I do know they've created conversations just like this one.
Yeah, here we are.
And I think that was probably part of their deal. It's just, if that conversation is not filtered by the Word of God, then it can take you down some very bad rabbit holes.
Right. Well, and that's the secular worldview too. If we are not grounded in, I mean, we have the rule book, we have all the answers to all the questions. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find for me anyway. It's hard to find sometimes.
Well, here's a good way of showing the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Today, people will get into a conversation like we're having and disagree, maybe with me or with you, and say, well, that's your truth. I've got my truth.
Ah, yes.
and wait a minute. Hold it. Time out.
Yep.
What is the definition of truth? That which is true.
Yes.
That which is accurate. That which is correct. No, what you're really saying when you say that's your truth or my truth, what you're saying is that's your feelings or my feelings. That's
my desire,
your
perhaps.
Your opinion or my opinion. Yeah. Well, the Word of God makes a bold claim. It says that Jesus Christ is the way, mm-hmm. the truth, and the life.
The truth.
He is the truth,
yes.
And so when we look at His life, and I challenge anybody, read the life of Jesus Christ and see how that man lived his life.
Mm-hmm.
How he gave himself to people and cared about people, and see if you can find something in that man's life that is despicable. Anything in that man's life that's not good and right. He is the truth.
Right.
You know, Kyle, for the last, I was reading Matthew 14 the last 2 days, and the first part of Matthew 14, John the Baptist is murdered. And what does the Bible say? It says that when Jesus heard about it, he went to a deserted place to pray. He went to be alone. You know why? Because he's hurting, man.
Mm-hmm.
He loved John. And he knew John had given his life for the kingdom of God. He knew that it was unjust. He knew it was a wicked deed that happened. So he went to be alone. So he gets out there and he's alone. He's trying to have his quiet time. What happens? People just start flocking to him. So what did he do? Leave me alone. I need my time. No, that's not what he did.
No.
He started ministering to them. And the Bible says there was 5,000 men, not including the women and children. So there might have been 15,000 people there.
That's a lot.
Jesus taught them. The Bible says he cared about them.
Yeah.
He healed diseases. He was loving those people. And so it was getting toward supper time, and a disciple said, Lord, send them away. We don't have the food for them. 15,000 people, I guess not. 12 men aren't carrying food for 15,000 people around on their back. So what does Jesus do? He feeds them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You say, well, that's a crazy miracle. That's not possible. I know it's not, but that's because you don't know who my God is.
Right.
You don't know who my Jesus is.
It's not possible for you or me.
And so he went from his hour of grief and pain, and he laid it all down to meet the needs of these people that were also hurting because John died. And then he fed them. Okay? So as soon as that was over, the Bible says he sent them away. And he sent his disciples, he put them in a ship to send them across the water.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he do? He went to be alone again. He put down his needs to take care of others. But then he went back to spend that time that he needed with his God.
And he didn't even get that.
And it wasn't too long after a few hours of that, then the Bible, that's when he walked on the water to go get the disciples.
Because they were in trouble.
Yeah. And so, I mean, his life was a life of giving.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a life of taking. And even when he deserved to take because he was hurting, his friend was dead. Mm-hmm. He gave some more.
I think there's a solid lesson there, too.
He's the truth, man.
Yeah.
He's the life. He's the way. And nobody comes to the Father except through him.
I need to save that for another week. there's a conversation I want to have there, too. Speaking of which, of another week, what do we have for this coming week?
Well, Sunday's a great celebration at our church because it is the Sunday before Christmas.
It is. That's hard to believe. Oh, my gosh.
And
I'm having a hard time with this.
A couple things are going to happen. We're going to be preaching another segment on praise.
Okay.
We're also going to be showing another form of praise, which is giving. For those that don't know, that don't come to our church, we do not take up a public offering on Sundays, on a normal Sunday at Majestic View Church. We give in secret because we believe that's what the Bible says. But on Christmas, the Sunday before Christmas, every year, annually, we have a special moment where we bring our gifts to the altar. And we call it our Christmas gift to Jesus. It is his birthday. Maybe we should give him a gift. You know,
seems reasonable.
We're more worried about the gifts we're getting,
yep.
But anyway, and our folks at some point in the service, they may just be bringing a dollar. The gift amount is not what we're interested in. And by the way, the money that's given goes to reaching out to help people in need. I mean, from benevolence to missionary work to other things like that. That's what this money's used for. It doesn't go in my pocket, okay? Or in any other pastor's pocket. It is money that's extra that we're giving as a gift to Jesus that other people might be blessed, okay? Anyway, we take up that offering, and it's such an amazing time every year as we just enjoy the joy of giving. And then our children have a couple of songs that they're going to sing that are right in line with the theme. And the message that we're going to be preaching this week is why do wise men praise? Why do wise men praise God? And we'll be talking a little bit about the three wise men.
Fantastic.
Or excuse me, the wise men. We don't know for sure it was three. We'll be talking about them and their journey and what they did when they found Jesus. So
fantastic. And then we've got a little shindig happening Sunday evening, right?
Yes, the Ross family, they all play stringed instruments and they violin and
one of them's got a cello,
guitar, and cello.
Yeah,
beautiful, beautiful music. They do a Christmas concert, and so they're going to be doing that again this coming Sunday evening. And then on Christmas Eve, we have a very special service, which is really just a very sweet time. It's a candlelight service. We'll start at 4:30 on Christmas Eve, and we keep it to an hour or less. Because we know people are trying to get to family and all.
Right.
But a lot of folks like to spend that time on Christmas Eve worshiping the Lord Jesus. And it's always a big service. It's kind of unique at Majestic View because there's at least a third, if not half, the people that come I don't even know.
Fantastic.
It's a very much a community event for us.
Good.
And we look forward to that. And so,
all right.
Busy few days coming.
Yeah, it is. All right. Well, we'll look forward to that then.
Thank you, Kyle.
Absolutely. Thank you.